Welcome to the first episode of the Wealth Podcast. I'm Katie Goss and
I'm Andrew Dattelbach.
Or as you may know him, the shirtless dude. In this episode, we're going to tell you our stories, how we ended up doing what we're doing here with Wealth. We're going to get into just our background with Hain and hypermobility and online programs, previous businesses, new businesses, co-founders, values, pillars.
That's about it. We had some little side conversations in there that were really fun. Hello, I am Andrew Dettelbach, and this is my fiance, my partner, we should already be married, Katie Goss.
Business partner.
Also. Business partner, yes.
Yeah.
So we're two of the four owners of Wealth, and we've been through quite a lot together over the last couple of years. Some of you may know that. But what we're planning to do with this podcast is a few things. We're looking to make sure that we have authentic conversations, that we're bringing on some badass guests. Let me read my list here. We're not taking ourselves too seriously. We want to be lighthearted. I'm shirtless. We're sitting here in our living room. We're tired. And we're going to just give you some information and keep it realistic. We're going to help people take ownership of their health. Help people inspire action, not just learning things. We want to make sure people are actually doing or implementing stuff. Increase awareness and education surrounding hypermobile EDS, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, or however you'd like to say that, and hypermobility spectrum disorders. And lastly, we want to help people who are in pain. That's where we started. Go.
Yeah. Do you want to talk a little bit about who we are, how we got here? You maybe go start with your background. What's the question?
Well, my background is a ship black wall.
How did you start doing what you do? We get that question a lot. I want to do what you do. What's your degree? How did you start doing this?
Okay. So I have a degree in kinesiology, pre-physical therapy. I was planning to go to PT school. I didn't, but let's back up a little bit. I actually started having pain at a very young age. And this is all pretty looking in hindsight, retrospectively, I had pain from a very early age and thought that was very normal. I went through high school and I was pretty clumsy in sports. I often tripped over myself. I had very bad proprioception. For those of you that have seen my social media, I have very good proprioception now. What are you going to say?
Part of that is that he's 6'5", and any boy or person that grows that much quickly, it's like a Great Dane puppy. Like they don't know what to do with themselves.
I had a size 13 shoe when I was like 14, and the rest of my body wasn't like proportional. So I was just tripping over myself constantly.
Which you still
like
do.
Bambi. Sometimes. I still do that. I trip over you usually. I'm shaking the camera. So my introduction to fitness was actually my mother had been diagnosed pre-diabetic. She hates that I use that in these things that I talk about. She was diagnosed pre-diabetic and it really catapulted us on a health journey. So we started focusing a lot more on what we were eating as well as moving more. So we got a Bowflex. It wasn't a Bowflex. It was like a knockoff Bowflex. We put that in the garage and I was just doing all kinds of stuff, crazy stuff. I'd put two 45-pound plates on my chest and do sit-ups and on the bench. And I'd often sit there and watch the little, I don't know if you've ever seen reptiles, they'll do push-ups. Lizards, they do push-ups. So I do push-ups along with them. And I just hold a plank and I do a push-up whenever they did a push-up. I don't know if that's a California thing or what. So as I worked on just exercising more, I started to get lean and I started to gain some muscle definition. That was obviously a nice side effect of exercise and diet. So that kind of started to really catapult me into this, like becoming really focused on being healthy was, okay, it's tough for people to start with a nice diet and to exercise, but once you start to see the positive side effects, it really snowballs and you get really addicted to it in hopefully in a healthy way. And I decided to go to college and I went to Cal State San Marcos to study psychology. And within the first semester, I was like, this is not for me. I immediately got C's in all the classes for psychology. And I was like, I'm not grasping just the 101 subjects. So I'm going to move on to something else. So I chose kinesiology. It was a booming major at our school. And it was also one of the like best majors there. And I'm really happy I did. I just immediately fell in love with everything that was kinesiology, which is the study of human movement, or movement of the human body. And I found myself just becoming obsessed with learning more about the human body. And I actually, in my anatomy class, I did so well that the teacher selected 8 students to work on cadavers for 2 years. So I got to work with cadavers. We did something called prosection, where you cut away layer by layer
cadavers,
the body. Cadavers,
if you don't know, cadavers are bodies, human bodies, mm-hmm. of people who are deceased and have given their bodies to science.
Yes. So we are told how they died and how old they were and whether or not they were male or female. And that was it. So there's 3 things. So I had the opportunity to work on cadavers for 2 years straight. It was awesome. I could come in and out of the lab whenever I wanted to do it. So I could go in there alone if I wanted to, which was a little creepy and not. I did that a couple times just to go work on it because it was really exciting. But yeah, I'd usually leave shortly after. And so after I graduated, one of my professors actually was a guy named Mike, and I started to work with this guy. He's a chiropractor, and I helped him with his clinic, and we grew that up. But in the meantime, we also created a social media, which was really picking up steam. I was the goofy shirtless dude, and the reason I was shirtless is because videos performed better when I didn't have a shirt on. So kept the shirt off, and that's how that kind of snowballed. But once we had a big enough following, we actually created a company together called MoveU, and I built that. I built the program that helped people with overcome pain. I built the social media. I did all the daily grind there. I built the community. I, a lot of times, ran the business and helped to hire a lot of the people that we had there. And that was an incredible journey.
Yeah, I ultimately ended up being the first official employee on payroll for that business and became an owner there as well. But backing up, so my background is my degree is in nursing, and I grew up in a very rural town in Northwest Wisconsin. Very different backgrounds. Andrew grew up just outside of LA. So he is definitely a city boy, and I am definitely a country girl. I went to college for nursing. I'm a third generation nurse. My mother was a registered nurse as well, and my grandmother was a nurse. Come from a big family of just medical providers. I got interested in nursing because I heard my family talking about the medical system. I was fascinated with the human body from a young age, and I just had an interest in health and anatomy and medicine. And I, growing up, did not come from a family that really put a big emphasis on healthy eating or exercise or movement. And it was during my first year of college that I got into lifting some weights and felt really good, just really liked how it made me feel. And played around with it, had no idea what I was doing, like just moving like a crazy person. I don't know, just crazy stuff. Similarly to your Bowflex.
245 pound.
Yeah. Similarly to your Bowflex, we had something that had a stack with the pins in it and had different attachments. It had the fly thing. And so just doing whatever I could. And as I learned more about that and just started reading books and magazines, and you know me well enough now to know that when I get interested in something, I dive deep and do a lot of research and learn everything that I can. And I started doing that with health and fitness, and it just really hasn't stopped for me. Like the interest that I've had in that has never wavered really. So my interest in that grew throughout nursing school. I became a nurse. I moved to Denver, Colorado, and worked there in acute care, taking care of cardiac patients, a lot of post-open heart patients, and really anything related to the heart. And really enjoyed that, but also became very frustrated with the medical system because I lived my life in a way that put a big emphasis on what I was putting in my body and how I was using my body. And the medical system doesn't. So while the work that I was doing was rewarding in that I was helping people acutely in those situations, nurses are incredibly overworked. We are given a large, like just a heavy patient load. There's always budget cuts. And I didn't feel good about the way we were slapping Band-Aids on people and then just pushing them out the door without any skills or tools to know how to make the lifestyle changes to ensure that they didn't just end up back there again. And a lot of them did. We had a lot of chronically ill patients with like congestive heart disease or even repeat heart attacks who would come back. And I just got very burnt out on that. I had two babies, relocated to Asheville, North Carolina, which is where we're at now. And after my babies, I had something called pelvic organ prolapse. And when I was researching that and trying to find out why I had it, I discovered that I had a connective tissue disorder called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. And I got very into Pilates and had a 6-hour pelvic reconstructive surgery. And following that, I had quite a bit of pain still, which is something that I've struggled with on and off my whole life, as long as I can
remember. Same. I totally forgot, by the way.
Yeah. You talked about it a little bit in the beginning. So just had a lot of pain, just struggling despite being very healthy and someone who was physically active, exercising almost every day, eating really healthy. I didn't feel great. Still having pain. Got into Pilates. That was very helpful. Trained as a Pilates instructor. And it was about that time that I downloaded Instagram. I know it had been around for a while, but I'm like sometimes very resistant to new things. Shiloh would shake his head. And I finally downloaded Instagram and was researching some hashtag. I don't know if it was like mobility or whatever the hashtag was I was looking. And I found these guys and saw Andrew being goofy. And so I started following their stuff and they had a podcast at the time and I was listening to that. And I noticed that they never said anything about the pelvic floor ever, which made me crazy. And so I reached out and let them know that they should talk about that. And that was how I got involved. And so I ended up coming on board and creating a pelvic floor program, helping women, primarily some men, work on getting connected to their pelvic floors and strengthen them and learn to relax them and just get better function, and working on diastasis recti. And we had some really cool experiences. We got to go speak internationally and teach some folks in the Middle East bunch of cool stuff. And
yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. We met some cool people and had some really great experiences. And then we bought a house together in the end of 2019. And then COVID happened. And we'd been traveling back and forth across the country for
a while.
Yeah, quite a while. The two of us going back and forth from East Coast to West Coast. And yeah, COVID happened. We went into lockdown. We were homeschooling my son, which was challenging on top of working as well. And Andrew proposed during lockdown. That was fun. And then we woke up one day in June and found out that both of us had been fired from our company. And then the next quite a few months were filled with a lot of attorneys. We were then sued. And so our attorneys came on board and very happy with them. Really great guys. Love our attorney. And
it's a weird thing.
Our former team dispersed and a handful of them reached out and said, what are you guys doing next? We want to be a part of it. And we were a little bit dazed and confused, not quite sure what we were going to do next. But we knew that we wanted to get back to doing this, helping people, other people that are in pain. And so we all co-founded Wealth. And we came up with that name because we like the saying, your health is your wealth. It's something that is really important to all of us. And it's something that, again, in my career as a nurse, when I saw end-of-life patients, none of them were ever saying, I wish I had more money, or I just wish I had one more sports car, or that I achieved more with my job. It was like always wishing they had more time, like more time to reconcile with family, or there would be a lot of regret of, I just wish that I had taken better care of my health, or I wish I had stopped smoking, or, and that was something that just stuck with me. It's something that comes up sometimes when I think about what really matters, like when you wake up and you're terminated and get sued or whatever thing happens in your life. I remember sitting and talking.
Or California reaches out to you about taxes.
The state of California. 2 years later. Yeah. But it's easy to get wrapped up in things that we feel like matter, and they do. But when you take a step back and you look at the big picture, it's like it doesn't really matter. And your health is the one thing that you can't go buy. It doesn't matter how much money you have. You might be able to afford a chef to prep your food or a trainer to help you exercise, but you still have to do the work. It still comes down to you and the decisions that you make consistently on a daily basis that result in your health, whatever that is, good health, bad health. It's just, you can't just go purchase it. So we came up with the name Wealth based on that. We also liked that W Health, it's like whole health or
world health.
World health. A lot of different ways we could go with that. So that is where.
I think I need to step back a little bit because I didn't talk about my injury and ultimately what's, you know, led me on this path is, yes, I was obsessed with the human body, but in 2013, I herniated my L4, L5, it's 10 millimeters to the left, 8 millimeters to the right. And I had dual sciatica down both of my legs. That ended up persisting for a couple of years. I had multiple surgeons tell me I needed to have surgery, as well as physical therapists, chiropractors. And my uncles had multiple back surgeries even before I was born. And so he was already on this cycle, and he's had, I think, 6 at this point. And I knew that I didn't want to go that route. And I was already working in the clinic and seeing people who had had back surgeries, and they had a lot of scar tissue, and they just had pain from the built up scar tissue from actually just getting cut open. It's, you can have pain, but once you create scar tissue, that is impossible to get rid of without having another surgery, which creates more scar tissue. You can go in and cut the scar tissue out, but that process creates scar tissue. So you're like, you end up in this cycle. And I knew that just wasn't something I wanted to get into. So I just devoted, however long this takes, I'm going to improve. And it was about 2 years that it took for me to be able to get back to lifting. I went from 225 pounds to 185 in that time. I had lost
body weight.
Yeah. I had lost a lot of weight. And that was lean mass because I wasn't really heavy, and I never did get heavy, but I just lost all that lean mass. And it was taking all the medications, getting a cortisone shot, and seeing all these things that didn't help. I'd seen that everyone had done this stuff before, and maybe it would help me, and realizing that all it was doing was covering up the underlying cause of the issue. So I spent months just playing with my positions, playing with my movement. I did the few exercises that my physical therapist gave me to work on every day for, I don't know, a year. And so much so that the McKinsey press up, where you lay on your belly and you press yourself up like a, what is that? That Sphinx pose? No, Sphinx pose is on your elbows, whatever. Cobra pose in yoga. I did that so much that my back started hurting from that, because my spinous process and my vertebrae were actually hitting each other. So I had so much range that they would all just hit each other, and that was bruising. So I stopped doing that, and I met a guy named Mike Koopman. He was a veteran from the military. I forget which, I think it was Marines. And he had a CrossFit gym, and he was also a patient. He's like, dude, you need to come to my CrossFit gym, and I'm going to help you with your back. And I'm like, that makes no sense, because you're CrossFit gym, and all of our clientele are CrossFitters, and they're all injured. So why would I go there? And he's like, I do it differently. So I went there, and he did an assessment, and he laughed at me. I did squats, pull-ups, push-ups. I did some hip hinges, and he laughed at every one of them. I'm like, is this what you normally do with your clients? He's like, I've never seen so much movement before. Like, my pelvis, a butt wink is when you get to the bottom of your squat and your pelvis tucks under and your lower back rounds. That's called a butt wink. He's like, I've never seen someone do two of them in one squat. And I was like, what? So he gave me a few techniques to work on to help me learn how to become connected to what my hips are doing versus what my lower back's doing, whether or not my lower back was rounding or I was getting a proper hip hinge. And I worked on that stuff for months and things started to improve very quickly.
Yeah. Like contrary to most CrossFit gyms, didn't you say that you weren't given like a weight?
I wasn't given a weight he gave me a 10 pound weight to put on my chest to help me with my hip hinge. But like, when you think about weights, no, I wasn't lifting barbells. I wasn't doing like crazy Metcons. I would come in there and metabolic conditioning is the Metcon. I would just come in there and basically do this like rehab work while everyone else was lifting. I would do the prescribed workout that they had for the CrossFit class, but it was like bare bones. So I'm watching all these like people in their 50s and 60s do the workouts, and I'm over there like on the ground doing like bridges and stuff. But I learned a tremendous amount from him, and I took that information and expanded upon it over many years. But it was that process of being in pain, helping people in the clinic with pain, and actually like living through the trauma of that just persistent nonstop pain at any point in the day, that I figured out a method that worked for improving the whole body. And it was, regardless of whether or not someone came in there for neck pain, foot pain, or back pain, or shoulder pain, I could take them through the same method and they would all make improvements. Is it like perfect, like you would have with a one-on-one coach? Not necessarily, but I found it to be a lot better. And we would actually have people come through our online program at that point with the previous company, and they would make massive strides because we had a community and we'd help everyone in the community at the
and
time.
I was actually a customer who purchased the program that Andrew made, and Andrew was coaching in that community all the time,
all day,
every night, every weekend, every holiday.
Yep.
But the support was great, and I learned a tremendous amount just from watching. He had made like all these videos, so you'd watch the video and then you'd go participate in the community. And then I had started to help give feedback, and some of the more kind of senior members start to give more feedback to newer members. And it was just, he had created this community that cultivated so much just inclusivity and support and just this very caring and positive place that you could go and not feel alone in chronic.
I think Marisol played a huge role in that. She was one of our employees at the time, and she like created this motherly, supportive, like positive vibe. And I think she created a community that allowed people to connect with other people that were struggling. Yes, like I ran the community and like the movement and all that stuff. She really got people connected on a human level, which I think was incredibly important. So without her being a part of that, I don't think we would have made any. We have an amazing community now that is that same way, but she really catapulted that. So I'd give a shout out to Marisol for that.
Yes.
So that pain process for me was very important for being able to actually connect with people. And luckily I've had pain in just about every joint in my body. I've had impingements in my shoulders, my meniscus in my knee, patellar tendonitis. I have a spur in my heel. I've had plantar fasciitis, both golfers and tennis elbow. I have missing ligaments in my right wrist from an injury. Neck issues.
Both of us have like a laundry list.
A laundry list of stuff. And
things that have torn or just been ongoingly painful, whether it's like a tendonitis issue or bursitis. Or.
And I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for every one that I get.
I am. It does get frustrating sometimes.
I think it would be different for people that don't do what we do, because I'm grateful for every pain that I have so that I can relate to what someone else has experienced.
Yeah.
And I can give them, you know, the support of here are things that, you know, make it feel better. And here are things that
don't necessarily. To talk a little bit about why we've had a lot of injuries and pains. I mentioned briefly that after I had the pelvic organ prolapse, that I was diagnosed with hypermobile Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. And what that is a connective tissue disorder. you have connective tissues in every system of your body. And basically because of that, you're a bit more prone to injuries.
A variety of other things
that we'll get into in our next podcast. We'll talk about a little bit deeper about what hypermobility really is and means. But part of it is having hypermobile joints. And when I met Andrew and I saw how you've probably seen his stuff that he does on Instagram with his belly and like his, you can do shoulder stuff.
I don't know if they can see that.
Right, yeah. Now. Anyway, I saw him doing these, we call those party tricks. And I had been diagnosed not that long ago. I saw him doing that stuff. Then when I met him in person and saw him doing it, I told him that I thought it was worth, you know, mentioning to his doctor that he's very hypermobile and that they might want to look into that, work that up. And he did and was sent to a geneticist and found out that he has the same very rare condition.
Yeah. And so that was hypermobile Ehlers-Danlos that I was diagnosed with. He didn't actually officially diagnose it on paper. He said, if I do that, it's going to mess with your insurance.
Oh, with
so insurance. He's like, I'm just going to tell you that like you definitely have it, but I'm not going to write it down. So that was probably
the very nice of him.
Only cool thing he did. He told me to, to not do any weight training, to do like very gentle exercises and swim and do all these things, which I can respect. It's good if you get your heart moving and you get your blood flowing. That's awesome. But with hypermobility, it is important to strength train. And I think that when I don't exercise, for this past week, we filmed a lot and I didn't exercise that much. And my body just felt like tighter. It felt achier. My body is, I have a fly in my face. My body is often, I have some little like nagging pain here and there.
I shook my bottle.
Oh, my body, I often have a nagging pain somewhere in my body. And when I don't exercise, it's everywhere and it's nonstop. And just by strengthening, I can reduce it by 80-85%. Now, I don't want to scare people because for me, pain is not a limitation. I continue to do everything that I want to do. And I think a lot of people are not yet free of the constraints that pain causes for them. Yeah. And I am. And not everyone's going to experience as much pain as we have. And I think that I have a lot of power over my pain. We kind of work together in a way.
Yeah. It's been helpful to me to learn to push through low levels of pain and continue moving. Because similarly, if I go more than 2 days, I would say, without some type of resistance training, it doesn't even necessarily have to be weights. It can be Pilates or body weight resistance or resistance bands. But if I don't do some form of that, by day three, I'm like starting to get a little bit miserable. Learning that, like currently I have a shoulder thing. I was doing deficit push-ups and just my shoulders are very hypermobile. Just went too deep into it. Didn't feel anything at the time. I had quite a bit of pain in that shoulder for the last 3 months. But continuing to exercise, and I was starting to stop doing like overhead stuff because it was hurting. And as a result, my neck has been flaring up a little bit. Andrew's helped me to find some positions overhead that aren't triggering for it or painful. And since I've been starting to do that, it feels better. So just moving is always better. Even if you have to modify or do something different, like some type of resistance training and moving for both of us has been really profound.
So ultimately, I didn't realize that my pain came from this thing until I was diagnosed, because I just really thought it was normal that people always experience pain. I've always had pain. And I see a lot of people now that come into our program, they're like, I'm 38 and this is the first time I've ever had pain. And I'm like, what? Like when we first started our programs, I'm like, wait a minute. Like that's crazy, because I've been having pain since I was like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Super young. And persistent pains, not just little things that pop up from falling off your skateboard, which I never did because it hurt too much, but things that I would just wake up.
Right?
I did break my jaw. I woke up and I hurt something and it just continued to stay that way for a year and a half or two.
Yeah.
And
injuries can take longer to heal.
Yeah. Also. Injuries. So we can talk about that, like our experience with the next time. But what we're going to transition to Wealthenheim right now.
Yeah, I think so. Started Wealth during COVID. It was still lockdown.
That like, was pretty, a bitch.
Yeah.
Just going from the termination, all the legal stuff, like trying to navigate all that and what was appropriate for us at the time, to then also talking to our attorney daily, but then building another business at the same time.
At the same time, yeah.
While homeschooling and obviously not leaving the house ever and just being like, what the
Yeah, heck? Just being really shut.
Drinking.
I mean, everything was shut down. Yeah, we went through a period where we were drinking more. Yeah, it was just it's a wild time to think back to that. But during COVID, I guess flights were back on when the guys came out. So there were originally five of us, and I don't remember at what point Josh moved here. But anyway, everyone was able to travel, but it was still during COVID with all the masks, and there was like still a lot of kind of anxiety for me anyway, with like having people fly on airplanes and be around my kids, and like still it was the early days where things weren't as clear and stuff. But yeah, so we got together for a week and shot a bunch of videos and got things going. You want to talk about the values?
The values. Yeah, I'm excited to build a company that's based off of some meaningful values that we all live by.
I think that's the important thing. I think
you live by the values that you've come up with. So are we going to ping pong, or you just want me to read them? I'm going to read them.
Go ahead. Go for it.
The first one is pursue health in all forms. Now, movement is something we show a lot on our social media. And I started to go to school for psychology, and I was like, this isn't the right thing for me. But I've spent more time learning about psychology than movement, and just how the mind works, how motivation works, how discipline works, how pain works. Ultimately, I've spent more time learning about that in the last 2 years than anything movement related. I've obviously still learned a lot about movement in that time, but that's been my huge focus.
Yep.
Not just for me and all the stuff that we went through, but just to help people overcome it. Because I find that the mind piece is more important than movement in a lot of instances.
Yeah. And we can talk about that in the pillars too.
Okay.
We'll go into that. But yeah, pursue health in all forms. That is physically, mentally, nutrition wise, that's financial health. That is just actively pursuing health, taking ownership, taking responsibility, and just striving to achieve good health in
even
all
social
areas.
Social health. Next one, be true to yourself and others. So honesty and integrity. That's pretty self-explanatory. Yeah. Practice gratitude. That doesn't necessarily need to be something that's written down in a book. Mm-hmm. It could just be talking to yourself in the mirror, or telling your loved ones, or telling your business partners in Slack every day.
We do that as a team, or we did for a long time.
But Friday, we're losing the platform. Our little system is going out of business. That's with many other things. Respect and honor each other and family. So selflessness and respect. Adapt to adversity, resiliency. I'm a huge fan of this one. I think that there's a lot of power and happiness that can be had from working through adversity, working through the struggle, and then no matter how long it takes. In fact, the more time that it takes, the more gratifying it is in the end. So for our injuries and the length of time that took to creating a business, the last one, which became quite successful at some point, and then this one, which I'm excited to see explode down the future. And it's just, I know what is required to make those things happen. And I think you do too. Mm-hmm. And our whole team knows that, like, just putting in that work consistently over many months and years is going to yield results. It's not doing the same thing every day, expecting different results, but just continuing to put in that little grind, look for those little improvements every day.
And it's really how you get to take back control for yourself and really take back your narrative and write your story, because there's a lot of different things that occur in your life that get thrown at you, or things that seem unfair, or that just hit you like a freight train. And it's really important how you handle those things, mm-hmm. what you do after those things occur, that I think is just so, it just speaks so much about people's character. And the more resilient you are and the more able you are to take like a negative and morph it into a positive, I think just the better you're going to do in all things. Mm-hmm. It's definitely powerful.
The book, oh my gosh, when you got Ryan Holiday. No, The Obstacle is the Way.
Yeah, right.
The Obstacle is the Way. There's a lot of really cool stories about that. So if you're looking at us and you're like, well, you've had some pain, you've had some business struggles, but you've never experienced like crazy things. And I agree with that. And so when I look at these stories about people who have been imprisoned for decades in, you know, a foreign country and been incredibly positive through that whole situation, there's stories like that, that it's like, wow, the power of the human mind is unreal. And I hope to never experience those things. But for those that do, you can overcome even the worst of the worst. Embrace ownership. Did I talk about that one? Mm-mm. Embrace ownership. So if you're messing up something, or if you're succeeding, you're taking ownership of the things that you contribute to the world, positive or negative.
Yeah. We all make mistakes. We all make decisions that we wish we had made differently. But ultimately, being able to say, hey, I messed up, and just really, I don't know, just do that. Not just for the people around you, but for yourself. Like, it's okay to make mistakes. I think it's just being able to say, I did that. We try to teach the kids that. It's tough sometimes.
Yeah, I know. They'll get it in a while. You got to have some life things happen to you, I think. Seek growth. Growth mindset just means that keep an open mind, and we want to continue to learn about things that we don't know, or things that if you ever think that you are the most knowledgeable about one thing, then you're not. The people that know the most about a subject recognize that they know nothing about that subject. Mm-hmm. Your highest level doctors out there that are teaching at some college somewhere are probably the first people to say, there's so much to learn about this that I'm literally just scratching the surface.
Yep. Yeah. I think always just being open to continually learning and being willing to be challenged too.
Mm-hmm. Communicate early with transparency. So being transparent.
Yeah. So communicate early, meaning, if there's something going on, don't let it just sit and, what's the word? Fester? That's what I was going to say. Yeah. If it warrants taking up a lot of time in your mind, then it warrants being talked about and being transparent. And I think sometimes that's a challenge of knowing. Sometimes being transparent is like, you want to be transparent, but not hurt people. So I think it's figuring out that line, but ultimately just being transparent, especially about yourself and like your own stuff, like whatever it is, just being honest about it with people. Yeah. Humor. You have to have fun with what you do. You can forget that sometimes. We've had a really busy stretch here right now. Today, this morning, we had a photo shoot and we've just been going. Sometimes you forget.
On top of everything else that we have in the daily grind.
Yeah, on top of, you know,
we wear like 10 hats
and kids. We just do a lot. But I think the reason that we can continue to do that for such a long period of time, because having done that with one business and then starting a new one from scratch and doing it again, I think what allows us to continue doing that is because we do have fun. Even if it's a couple times a day, I feel like there's always something that we laugh about. Like there's always something that we just crack up, and it's usually stupid, but.
Acknowledge ego in all things. This is a big one. I like this one. We don't need to talk about it, but there's always, your ego is always fluctuating. It's always going down. It's going up. And the more you can train it to stay neutral, like closer to the midline, everything's on a spectrum. And the more you can keep it in the middle, ultimately the happier you're going to be. And I think people let their egos just swing up and down and up and down. And definitely when you're more tired, more stressed, like it gets even harder to control those things.
Yeah.
Enjoy the journey. And I alluded to that with the adapt to adversity. I like saying adopt adversity. Just because you need to fall in love with the process, because the process itself sucks. No matter what it is you're trying to improve, whether it's going through our program, building a business, you're wanting to train for a marathon, you're going to school right now, whatever it is, you need to be able to enjoy the process of getting better at that thing, overcoming that thing, and looking for those little tiny wins, because you have to get obsessed with that aspect. And for instance, one of our members, Crazy Sciatica, just super excited to be able to put her socks on. And I think people forget like that there are people that are so like bad off that like just putting socks on is a massive win. Like super excited, made a video about it, recording herself and just like smiling, just like, this is amazing. Cause they haven't been able to put on socks on their own for a long time. Mm-hmm. And just falling in love with what is, quote, the little win. If you can make those little wins a bit bigger in your mind, you're going to be much happier.
Yeah. And we put being present in parentheses next to that. So instead of wishing and focusing on, oh, I just can't wait till I can put my shoes on myself, or I can't wait,
or till I can't wait till I can run.
Go jog. Yeah. Just being present with where you're at and really being accepting of where you're at and whatever time frame it's going to take you. I think it's great to have goals and to know where you're headed, but to also be able to be present and enjoy the phase and the space that you're in. Mm-hmm. I think for any of the parents, I know with newborns, it's exhausting and it's tough. And when you add a second one, it doesn't get easier. It gets more challenging with a toddler and a newborn. And I know people would say to me as a new mom, like, you're going to miss these days. Just that it would annoy me if it's like pissed me off. Can we swear on here? I don't know. I would just be like, you clearly don't remember how hard
this is. You're going to be authentic.
But so people, I'm like, you clearly don't remember how hard this is, or you must certainly have had help. When I had babies, I didn't have any family around or anything to help, which makes a big difference. But it is true. Being able to be present even in the really hard times and really be able to just soak in and enjoy what it is. Whatever it is, chaos, the sleeplessness, just the vomit on you, the milk leaking out of your boobs, like just being able to just be in that and just feel all of it and not be looking forward to or thinking about, oh gosh, it'll be so nice when the baby's sleeping through the night, or when we're not dealing with two car seats, or when it's just really easy, I think, to be so focused on the future, the goals that you're not really living in the present and feeling it.
So we're shifting a little bit.
Yep.
I'm following your little list here.
Yeah.
We have some programs. The first program we made was called Foundations, which it was something that we had to do because we were restricted by some legal stuff.
Non-compete. For a few months on pain, so we couldn't.
So we launched this thing, it was a cool idea. It just had you working. We don't sell it. You can't buy it. So I'm not going to spend too much time talking about it, but
it's just overall improving your lifestyle choices
in every life,
in every area. So we have five pillars. Why don't you talk about the pillars first? Actually, that would make
the five pillars are movement, mindset, nutrition, restoration, and environment. Movement's pretty self-explanatory. I don't need to talk about that. You've probably got here because you watch us move on Instagram. If you haven't, it's, you know what? Who knows who's going to be here? Exercise, walking, changing positions, strengthening, Pilates, whatever.
Whatever your thing is that you move your body, that's movement.
Mindset, ownership, silver linings,
basically
open-minded.
A lot of the stuff we just talked about.
Yes, on those values. Mindset. Nutrition, eating whole foods as much as possible. Food is medicine.
Yeah. And I think it's fine to indulge and enjoy things. Learning to be discretionary and to think about it through a lens of, is this helping me achieve my long-term goals or not? And am I okay with how this is going to impact me achieving my long-term goals? Mm-hmm. I think it's important to find a healthy balance with that. I think you can definitely go too far in either direction with that.
Yeah, I had a triple cheeseburger the other day and a bunch of fries and then had a bunch of drinks.
But that's not how we like both of us did. I had a cheeseburger too and fries. It's fine because we don't do that all the time. Like we enjoy it when we do it. I don't think there's any guilt or like remorse, but then we get back on track with how we normally do things.
Just because we feel better. And it's not like an obsession about who knows, whatever. What goes along with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome is GI stuff. And like
a lot
of the things that we can eat out often fuck up our stomachs. GI distress. So that's a huge motivator to eat clean.
Yeah, it also has an impact on pain and depression, anxiety, all of those things. So it is important.
Restoration. So that includes being present, sitting there, being mindful of your breath, improving your sleep, playtime. So whether that be just working out in the garden or exercising or playing video games or watching TV, like play is something where you don't necessarily have an end goal. You're not looking for a specific result. It's important that aspect of play is being done.
Don't point at me.
Soaking in the present is what you wrote there. The next one, environment. So this includes your social environment as well as the literal environment that you're in.
And getting outdoors, getting in the sunlight, especially early in the morning, just all of that. What is your space like? Is it cluttered? Is it distracting for you? Do you feel calm in your space? What kind of people are you surrounding yourself with? Are they making you better? Are they helping you?
Challenging you? Or are they enabling you to eat poorly, not exercise, party, stay up late? If you have a vision of yourself, are these people helping you get to that vision?
Yeah. Because the five people you spend the most time with really shape who you are. It's us and the kids.
Yeah. So going back from that to our programs, foundations focused on those five pillars. Now, Limitless is our program for pain relief across the board for anyone that has pain or for people that are just interested in learning the intricacies of the human body and really wanting to level up their body awareness, which if you do that, you're going to see aesthetic benefits. And when you take the techniques that we teach you and apply that to your current training, you're going to see some pretty sweet gains and you'll feel much better in your body. Limitless does focus on those five pillars, but primarily movement, mindset, nutrition, and the environment aspect is more so the community than anything else.
Yep. So we have a private community for the members where we do live coaching calls and provide feedback and just have cultivated a really cool group of people.
Sound like we were talking about earlier. Yep. Thanks, Marisol. Then we have strength and conditioning.
Yep.
That program was named very simply for a reason. What the hell it is. So that one definitely focuses on, that takes you through my training style. Lots of hypertrophy, high reps, working up to building strength and high weight, as well as cardio conditioning, whether that be long form cardio or some Metcons circuit type training.
I was just going to say the amount of content and the detail in all of the instruction on all of our programs are unparalleled. I think I haven't seen anything else.
You're the pro. I've never done any.
You've never done any. So. I've done quite a few different online programs. Well, I've never seen anything like it. But also, we have been making online programs since before COVID. Like COVID hit, and everyone has an online program doing something now.
Yeah.
And then we spent a lot of time educating people because they would say, how does that work? An online program? How can we do that? It was like this foreign concept. So we've been doing it for a long time and we've had a lot of time to refine things and really master the
Yeah, I think that is interesting. People don't ask us about how an online program works anymore. I haven't really thought about that.
Because every
we used to have to be like, oh, you're going to come.
Yeah, there was a lot of educating people and convincing to understand how it could work virtually.
How could this be better than my in-person PT? It's you're going to have instruction daily and you have workouts daily.
Way more detail. Therapy. You're going to understand why you're doing it. Exactly how to do it and what the common mistakes are.
And there's a path laid out for you. The last one is hypermobility, which we're in the middle of doing now, which is building stress.
It's a lot of work. Especially on top of all of the other things that you do.
In the business, it's like we've got to film content for social media, edit it, write the content, post it, deal with all the DMs, all the comments. I'm, you know, working with people in the communities. We're working on marketing stuff. We've got our team meetings. I can't think anymore.
There's all just the administrative. Just
all that stuff. That doesn't go away. So then you're just taking all the stuff you normally do every day and adding an astronomical amount of work on top of that. So it's a nice grind. And I think it's really exciting when you finish it. But I have such high standards for the programs and how they're designed and how it's put together that it does create a lot of work. Cause I want it to be like, it sucks for me, but I want it to be as easy as possible for other people to go through. And I love when I still get people that are like, this is not good enough. And I'm like, dude,
do you have any idea?
Do you have it?
How many hours and how much effort? That is rare. By the way, let me just tell you, we can thousands of people that give like raving reviews, loved your program, you changed my life. And don't get me wrong, Andrew cares about those and he'll read them and I can tell it makes him happy and he feels that. But one complaint, one bad review, which I think I count on one hand how many we've ever had, one bad one will set him back. It will take another 1,000 before he feels okay.
So the bad reviews in the past are what made that program better and what made me better. And all of the bad negative things that people reached out to us on social media for, especially for the way that I used to teach things and my old thought processes, sounds fancy. I've been challenged on that. And I'm a completely different person than I am now because of those negative things. Like I look at the people that post just the worst shit on social media ever, and they get praised, they get positivity. But that doesn't teach you anything.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of places too that will just go, if anyone doesn't leave positive feedback, if they leave a negative thing or they challenge them or they say you're wrong, they just block them or just delete the comment, block them, whatever.
Just more and more confirmation bias.
Awesome. So it's just keep like, oh, great. Where, yes, that can be an easy thing to do so you don't have to deal with it. But you know what we usually do, depending. Now, there's some people that just straight up troll and we'll because it's not worth the mental
energy. But
people that are genuinely like, I don't understand why you would say that because XYZ will say, what do you mean? Show me what you're talking about. Send me the study. We try to improve.
Yeah, sometimes
as much as you can. So
it's hard because sometimes people are like, you just dealt with 7 trolls and then you have this response for this guy and you're like, you're another troll.
Yeah, sorry.
So you hit them and they're like, you're just in a tip, aren't you? You're like,
yeah, I am. I just dealt with a bunch of, I don't know. Yeah, just be, I don't know. I think people should just be, approach someone like you would face-to-face because there's something with social media that people will just say things in a way that you would never say to someone's face.
So anyways, those negative things have helped make our programs significantly better than the ones that I've made in the past. And I'm much more proud of this one and all of these.
Than anything else that I made previously. Yeah.
But all of them take a lot of stuff.
It shows that you've been making programs. You made your old program in 2016. Having done that for so long shows, because so many people now, they come into the program and they're just getting faster results and like
faster results with fewer questions.
Exactly. Yeah. And you've really figured out like what things are the most powerful, not just in terms of exercises, but in terms of mindset too, and really gotten so good at the delivery of it that it's just impactful at a faster rate than what we've seen before. And hypermobility is going to be great because it's a new sector. People, we have had quite a few people that are hypermobile and EDS go through Limitless and do great, but this is the first time we've created a program very specifically tailored to that group of people, which both of us being hypermobile makes it easier to do.
So for those of you that are hypermobile and listening, it is going to be a little bit slower paced than Limitless, and it's going to dive a bit more into isometric work, which would be like a plank. A plank is an isometric exercise. Nothing is moving. So a bit
but
more,
if you've ever done a plank, that does not mean that it is
that it's easy. Especially the way that we teach it. You've probably done a plank. You're like, yeah, it is easy. If you take the techniques that we teach and apply it to a plank, you'll feel differently.
And I think it's important for people to realize, no matter what it is, if it's a disc herniation or a knee replacement or injury, or you've been diagnosed with hypermobility spectrum disorder or EDS or whatever the thing is, you can't change what happened, the injury, the genetics that led to a diagnosis, but you can change what you do about it. And there is no cure for EDS. There's no pill that you take. There's no surgery that you get that's going to fix it. And I think with joints, people expect, like, I'm going to get my knee surgery, I'm going to feel better. And what we know is that often does not happen. There are some where they get their surgery and they never have any more issues.
And there are some instances where surgery is definitely needed.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there are some where they get the surgery and it maybe gives them a little bit of improvement, but not enough. And then another joint has issues and it just snowballs into a bigger thing. But with any of looking at the five pillars and really maximizing all of those things, we do have a big emphasis on movement, really maximizing all of those areas, you have so much capability to improve the way you feel, despite whatever the injury is or despite whatever the genetic variant or diagnosis is. It doesn't mean that you have to accept it, that you have to just feel like, my knee just hurts forever now. Like, it doesn't have to be that way. There's so much that you can do to improve it. And it's the same thing with hypermobility.
Yes, there is a lot of power in choosing your situation as well. Not fighting it, but actually choosing. I want it. That, we talk about that in our program.
All right. So
we
finished the list. Yeah. So we have, Wealth started out with five of us, and one of our co-founders got very into cryptocurrency and is now doing that full time. So there are four of us now. So we have the two of us, and we have Cameron Bork, who is out in San Diego, California, and Shiloh Summerall.
Summer dog.
He's waving at the screen. He is producing the podcast right now as well. And he's
so happy I'm not doing any of that content.
Yeah, I know. He is in Austin, Texas. So you will be seeing them on the podcast as well. We have the next episode is going to be on hypermobility. And the one after that, we have a very special guest, Dr. Linda Bluestein, that we are interviewing. And then after that,
we interviewed her.
Yeah.
We're doing this backwards, everybody.
We're going to make
We're being authentic.
And then we'll get Shiloh and Cam on and have them talk about their stories.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be fun.
That'll be really the longest conversation.
It will be long. I think we might have to split them. We might have to split you guys up and do it separately. I don't know.
Because they could just, Cameron would just ask Shiloh questions and Shiloh would just.
But we had some really great conversations as a team, I think. We enjoy challenging each other, I think. We challenge each other a lot.
Nonstop, every
and
day.
And it's
like,
great.
Why are you doing that?
But you do the same thing to me. And it's great because ultimately it just makes us better people and it really brings us closer. Like, I think it's done in a way that comes from a place of love and caring. And I think that's what allows us to be open to it and vulnerable and accepting of it instead of just getting defensive. I think that delivery matters. And I think that knowing the intent behind it matters. And I think that we have done a really good job, not just the two of us with each other, but all of us as a team in cultivating that kind of culture where we can talk about the hard things. And
the hard thing about hard things. It's a good book.
All right. You can find more. If you don't know who we are, you can go to Instagram. It's @spreadwealth. That's Spread W Health on Instagram. We are on TikTok. That is a whole different crowd over there, let me tell you. TikTok is at wealth underscore. YouTube is at Spread Wealth. And our website is spreadwealth.com.
The reason everything is spread is because we couldn't get wealth anywhere on anything.
Yeah. So that's why it's Spread Wealth. A lot of times people call us Spread Wealth, which is also okay, but our name is Wealth.
Which is cool. You know, it's a cool name, Spread Wealth. I think it's a cool play on words. Yeah. But yeah, it is Wealth.
Spread the Wealth. You can find out more about us and find more information. We put out a lot of really, we've heard, very useful content on social media. We also have a blog on our website. A lot of free resources available there. And you can always email us too. We like to hear from people. It's weird just looking at screens all day, every day, recording content.
We're just looking at ourselves right now.
Yeah. So we really like it when people are interactive. We love it when people comment or DM or send emails. Like, we like it to be a two-way relationship.
And I don't know if it's because everyone was stuck in lockdown for several years, but it seems like comments have decreased. Like, people are just inundated with so much content that engagement has decreased as a result. So it's tough to put some content out there, see that everyone is liking it, saving it, all this stuff, but no one interacts. You're like,
yeah, that's the wild thing. You'll look at a post that has barely any comments and you'll see like it's been saved and shared a ton. Is anyone there? Is this on? Is it working? Can you see it?
But then we post a video that's really funny and that usually sparks some comments. I think the meme culture and the comedy culture is a big one on social media right now, because I think a lot of people are in a pretty dark place.
Yeah.
And so that kind of helps uplift people. But
yeah, I think there was a shift though, I think, from COVID. I know we talked about that some with your mom too, but where people just, it's like they forgot how to interact or engage, even on social media or and in person. It's like people are just kind of like, her students.
Maybe we should.
She said her students won't answer her. She'll say stuff and all her students will just sit there and look at her and no one will engage in a conversation. And sometimes it feels like that with social media too. I'm like, come on, guys.
So that's another thing. I'll thank my mom because I learned a lot about teaching from her. So that has allowed me to structure things in a way that makes sense according to a teaching kind of curriculum. So thanks, mom.
His mom is really great. She's, I don't know, just a really great example of, I think, how to do things well with your kids. I think it's cool. You guys have always had a really good relationship, it seems like. I know you were a brat when you were a teenager and stuff, but he just wanted to play games all the time and he was kind of a jerk. The fact that
I still want to play games all the time.
As an adult and a young adult, like even in college and stuff, like you guys have always been close and that matters to you. I'm like, that's how I want my voice to be when they get older.
Okay. That is the end of our podcast. Thank you for listening to us if you've gotten this far, and hopefully it was insightful to you. We'll talk about some other aspects of business in about a year.
Yeah, everybody asking to spill the tea. We got a little over a year.
And so thank you all for watching, supporting us in every way.
Okay, bye.
Cool. Okay, bye. Have a good one.